opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of F'd Up Farming. I'm your host, Tyler Martin. And finally showing up to the crow's nest.
Which, back up to the crow's nest.
As some of you may recall, happens to be in his attic. Royce O'Neill.
Had to go do farming shit.
Nobody believes that you had to go do farming shit.
No, I just ran out of the office for the hell of it.
You didn't even take your farm pickup.
No, because you had me blocked in. And I just told my wife that the Expedition is a hell of a well checking rig. So.
Well. There you go. I guess that's good. That works. Also with us in the crow's nest tonight, we've got Jared Bucky Guerrero.
Hello, Buck. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
I mean, we do have an international audience. Some of them might be out to sea.
They might be. You never know. There's not much farming going on out there. I can promise you that.
What do you mean? In
like,
the sea?
In the sea.
Like you've never heard of aquaculture?
No. You educate me then.
That's where they farm in the ocean. Oh. In water.
What do they grow?
Water.
Well, like they grow a lot of seed weeds and stuff like that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I don't know if that falls under aquaculture per se.
I think you're going to make an ass out of yourself if we keep on talking about this, Tyler.
Wouldn't be the first time.
You don't know much about rice, huh? Is that aquaculture?
I don't think that's actually aquaculture. Oh. The rice doesn't actually require to be underwater to grow. It's just weed control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know that. I don't know much about farming, but I didn't know that.
All right. Before we get off in the weeds too much, let's roll through our sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah. So, first off, we're going to mention Meek Club Lambs in Gageby, Texas. Now, you might not know this, but Mama and Papa Meek were awarded Man and Woman of Wheeler County.
I saw that. I did see
weekend.
That. Couldn't have happened to better people.
Yeah, no doubt.
Congratulations.
We're proud of you, Meek. So go check out the Man and Woman of the Year and buy good sheep.
I mean, best people, best sheep in the business. Obviously, we were proven right about the first one.
Yep.
We must be right about the second one.
Have to be.
And coming back again, we've got Livestock Podcast. He put out another episode last week. Was listening to it yesterday and today. It's a pretty decent one.
That was good. That's one with Dane's Cattle Company on it.
Dane's Mains.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, I didn't think about how hard it was in the early 2000s when the BSE cow hit and just knocked out all trade between U.S. and Canada cattle-wise.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Boy, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. Y'all need to go check that out. Livestock Podcast. And also, of course, we've got Moe Cattle Company, White Deer, Texas.
Best Angus and Sim Angus genetics since 2023.
I'm excited about 23.
You should be.
I'm excited about that bull.
You should be. Well,
you can buy it?
I don't know if I'll buy it.
We can start taking some bids. You know, Hadley's marinating. He's thinking about it.
What about some semen? I mean,
if you want to go collecting,
that's fine.
Get Tam on the line.
And in something that hasn't happened in a while, we've got a new sponsor this week. We have reached an agreement with Texas Beverage and Package in Groom, Texas. So if you're in the need for liquor or booze in Groom, Texas.
The best whiskey selection, I would say, in the Texas Panhandle.
It is amazing, their selection. And the owner is very knowledgeable.
And I'm
so
not
if you got any
that
questions,
they have the most types of whiskeys in there, but they have shit that you cannot find other places.
I've got shit I've never seen before.
Yeah, no shit. We got a couple bottles up on the shelf.
Yeah, that we're going to be trying out. And so, yeah, you guys hit them up if you got something you want. So look for more coming from from us and the Texas package store in Groom, Texas, right next to the grocery store.
Texas Beverage and Package LLC on Facebook.
Okay. That's what it says on the sign, though. So if you're looking for it, it's TX Whiskey on Main Street.
Tell your friends, check them out. And we appreciate your
sponsorship. Patronage. We do. All right, guys.
Also in sponsorship tonight, Jared Bugarero.
Oh, yeah. He brought the whiskey.
Yeah, Hadley. I actually brought whiskey to the to be a guest on this podcast.
Technically, he brought liquor to the first one that he was on.
And I don't even
share.
Did offer.
He did after about two-thirds of the way through it.
That's true. But anyway, Bucky did the right thing. He brought whiskey. And who were you going to plug for that?
Oh, this is just Noble Whiskey.
No, who were you going to plug for that? We talked about it last night, bud.
My sponsorship.
The White Deer Riding Club.
White Deer Riding Club. They didn't buy it. I bought it. But I'm here in representation of the White Deer Riding Club that y'all are also part of.
And don't spread that around.
Y'all, anyway, tell us about the whiskey.
Well, this is Noble Whiskey, and it's...
Talk into the mic.
Okay. This is Noble Whiskey, and it's made, produced by Micro, you know, Dirty Jobs and everything like this. And it's named after his granddad, Carl Noble. And by buying this, you make a donation to Micro Works and help give kids...
That's the trade school scholarship program?
Trade school scholarship, which I'm pretty for.
You're a tradesman.
Yeah, I'm a tradesman. And if you can't afford and not really going to take it in a university seriously, kind of like I did.
I was about to say, you've got a tattoo like on your ankle that shows how serious you
I was pretty serious and everything. You know, I went to Tarleton State for 3 years, and me and Tarleton State came to an agreement that I was going to go home and work, and they were going to continue being a university. And they didn't need my presence to continue to be a university. So I'm all about the trade schools and junior colleges. My wife works at one. So we made a little donation to Micro Works, and I hope y'all enjoy this Noble Whiskey, Tennessee Whiskey. It's small batch, handcrafted, 45% alcohol by volume, and 90 proof. So y'all drink up.
Awesome.
Let's get at it.
Jared, we greatly appreciate it. And for all those that are wondering at home, this is our first dry guest that we've had.
Kirby wasn't drinking. Well, I guess he did sample, though.
He did sample, though.
Yeah.
I can sniff
the
cork.
Much like Bucky and Tarleton State, or Tarleton came to an agreement, he and liquor also had that very
liquor,
similar
beer,
agreement.
Alcohol. See, I'll sniff this. And if Tam Terry's asleep, he just woke up out of a dead sleep. He went, oh, shit. It smells good.
Luckily, we're not in Tams County, no so kidding. Just be Boy, watching when you cross back over. That smells good.
It smells like something. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Not very rough, but you said it was, 90 proof? So it's not that bad. I'm getting a fruit, like a citrus fruit.
Definitely, yeah.
Maybe
or
not
a,
so much a citrus
or
fruit,
a floral?
But a more sour fruit.
I'm almost getting a little floral off of it, that. Too. Almost a perfume.
It is a little perfumey. It's got good legs. And very nice mouthfeel and texture.
It does, and thank you for chilling that off in your cooler, because that makes that first sip delightful. It's sweet, a little oaky.
There's definitely some oak or birch wood, as Hadley would call it.
So is all Tennessee whiskey charcoal filtered? Is that what makes it Tennessee whiskey and not bourbon?
There's other differences. I don't think it's the charcoal that makes it Tennessee whiskey.
So, but Buck, you said you had some notes for us.
Oh, the person I also bought another bottle for, and he said it was really smooth and it was really good. And you know, it was one of the higher classes of whiskey that he, that I have bought him. He tends to stay a little private about anything of this, but he did enjoy it. He gave it an 8 out of 10 because I did ask him.
8 out of 10.
I did ask him on y'all's scale. And then I got a history lesson about everything. So, you know, do with that what you will.
A history lesson about whiskey?
Well, just about the small batch, you know, the how they...
Welcome to...
I'm trying to remember. Spread that on. Well, they fire all of that whiskey in the barrels on the temperatures. And like your larger batches or your cheaper whiskeys and stuff like that. And they're in a bigger room. Well, that smaller batch is actually up in an attic of the building or the higher room of the building. So it gets more of a fluctuation of temperatures.
Right.
And that's where you get your small batches rather than your large batches. And it's a little more... So every time that temperature fluctuates, it gets to grab that taste and that...
It goes in and out of the wood with the temperature fluctuations.
So that's what he was telling me about, and that's the history lesson I got on that.
Well, let's say you learned something today.
That may come in handy later for our game at the end of the show. We have not seen that one yet, but who knows?
Might be in there. I mean, I don't know how many we've really got left because we've gone through. It's not a very big box of cards, but
we're gonna have to find us another trivia game after that.
Maybe we'll go like farming trivia because I've actually been thinking about that. Maybe adding farming trivia, but I didn't have those cards with me tonight. So,
Do you have those cards?
Yeah, I've got my flashcards from whenever I got my CCA.
Oh shit! I don't know if I want to be a part of that.
It's all good, PSES major.
It's only been a decade. All right, Tyler, you want to go ahead and put a score on that? I've got Bucky's 8 down.
I think I'm going to keep that 6.5.
It's pretty close to what I was going to do. I was going to do a 7.
Okay, and I thought about going a little higher, but it's good. I would buy it again.
Yeah.
I don't know what that cost. What that bottle?
That was $65, and I had to order it offline.
A little higher.
Yeah, it's not offered in stores. It's just through his foundation and stuff. So
that's probably a reasonable price point because you're giving it to the deal. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to knock the price point on it. I would probably buy a bottle for myself. Anywho's, yeah, I'm sticking in that 6.5.
That is better than the last Tennessee whiskey we've had on here.
So much better than the last one.
And I think it is better. Omar, do better. Remember that.
Yeah, Omar.
So, well, Bucky, thank you so much for bringing us that.
Not a problem.
And thanks for coming on.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Now, the Bucky's out of here. Let's go on with... Just joking, Bucky.
It's all good. Let's kill the day.
Let's kill the day.
And then we'll kick his ass out. Bucky, guest goes first.
Okay. I've got Prohibition Rose by Tyler McCollum. And Tyler's a friend of mine. He's based out of... He's in Terrell, Texas. Not Terrell. He's out in the Metroplex now. We went to school together at Stephenville. He is Parker McCollum's older brother. And, you know, it was really cool living with people that played music and was actually writing music. And there's a lot of songs on that first title or on that first album from Parker that I watched get wrote.
By far the best album he's ever had.
Yes. And, I don't know. Tyler's more of the sounds a little more Americana. Instead of the country,
he's not a gold chain cowboy.
No, he's not a gold. No. But you know, they're from East Texas, over in Conroe, and
judging by his brother, I'm not surprised. That was a low blow. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, East Texas is East Texas.
It is. They're weird over there.
It's a different world over there. But Tyler's a great guy, and Parker's a great guy, and that whole family's really good people. And he's actually got a wine. Tyler does. That's called Prohibition Rose, and I think it's out of Llano Winery.
Oh, okay.
Over in Lubbock.
Yeah.
So, It's a good song. And
so here we go. Prohibition Rose, Tyler McCullum.
Prohibition Rose sat on a counter with a long day and a downer. Where's the money go this time of year?
That's a solid song.
That's good.
I've never heard that one before, but I like
the guitar work. I've heard you talk about him before, but you know, it's one of those deals. You hear it and then you don't think to go look it up, and it doesn't ever pop up on my Spotify or anything like that. So that's a good song.
Yeah.
That's a rendition that I've never heard. That was a lot more instrumental. I like it. And he was learning to play the fiddle. I don't think he plays it anymore, but when we were in college together, he did. And he'd go to his fiddle lessons on Wednesdays and then come back and sit on the back porch and drink beer and just sit there and listen to a fiddle play all afternoon. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was interesting. And I enjoyed it.
So did he have a similar agreement with Tarleton?
No.
Because it sounds like he spent a lot of time.
No, he actually graduated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
It can be done, just not by me yet. I don't know. We'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah.
Online classes are great.
So, Royce, what do you got for killing the day?
So, I'm coming back with a book, finally. Been a while. But this is one I enjoyed through Weed Harvest. And I can't remember if I was listening to it when we were planting or not, but I listened to all five of them. It's a series by Jack Carr. He's a former Navy SEAL, and he wrote a book about, in the book, he becomes a former Navy SEAL, too. But The Terminal List.
Is that the one they're making the movie about with Chris Pratt?
Yeah. Well, it's a TV show, and it's already out. It's a decent TV show. It starts out a little slow. I binged it all in about 2 days.
It's got Andy Dwyer in it, man. It's got to be great.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
He makes a surprisingly good SEAL after watching him as Andy Dwyer.
Well, but I mean, look at Andy Dwyer versus Star-Lord.
Yeah.
That is true.
Dude's got range.
He does. And he does a pretty good job. But now The Terminal List, it's about a Navy SEAL who faces some challenges and just goes on a murderous rampage. The wrong people piss him off, and he just goes on a killing spree.
It sounds pretty similar to the Mitch Rapp series by Vince Flynn, which I really enjoyed.
It is. I've read a couple of those, and it's pretty close, except this is just a 100% revenge rampage in the first one.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, talking about taking out U.S. officials and people like that. Takes down a drug cartel at one point. I mean, all because they killed people he knew.
Just for funsies.
No, it was revenge. I mean, he had him a mission. And by God, he achieved that mission. And everybody dies.
You know what they say. Love what you do. You never work a day in your life.
Exactly.
And that Jack Carr does write some pretty good books. I mean, this isn't his first one. I think all them Navy SEALs get out and retire and then write books.
Yeah, they wait their amount of time. Yeah. Then they start writing.
Yes, they do.
And it's interesting to hear him because throughout the books, he talks about in the preface, he talks about the writing process, and even though it's a fictional book, he has to take it to the Navy, and they have to edit it, or they have to go through it and proofread it, and if there's anything that they don't like, doesn't matter if it's been published before or not, he has to black it out. And there were one or two of the books, there's like a chapter, whole chapter redacted, whole chapter redacted.
Sounds like a podcast with your brother, what it sounds like.
And then there's another one that they're in a CIA black site. Location, redacted.
Damn!
So, yeah. But no, very. If you're into those Vince Flynn books or kind of like Jack Ryan, some of those, I think this would be up your alley. It's good. Good series.
Cool deal. So, I'll have to check it out. And the TV show, apparently.
Yeah.
And you're listening to that, or are you reading it?
Oh, shit. No, I listen.
Okay.
I'm audible.
So am audible. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only, you know.
Yeah. No, it's good on Audible.
I do both.
The guy that does the reading on it, he's really good.
Good.
Really good.
Because them narrators can make or break a fuck. Because there's been several books I've bought on Audible that I never finished. And then, like, one day I find it at the library or something, and I'll pick it up. It's like, man, this is great. I don't know why I quit listening to that. And then I'll remember.
All right, Tyler, so what do you have?
I am going with From Austin by Zach Bryan. Never felt repression is my heaven, but I'd rather go through hell. It's about time that I left Austin, about time you settled down with a man who doesn't move as quick as a train rolling through town. About time that I faced the hard times I've let go. Love was just an ocean I'll drown before I fall.
Another solid song by Zach Bryan.
Fucking Zach Bryan is a badass.
See, I didn't even heard of him until I was riding with Justin one day, and that song came on, and I'm like, what in the fuck is this? Like, where has this been?
That is a good song. And I think he's only got, he don't have very many albums out. This is a new one that just came out in May. It's got 35 songs on it.
Yeah, this is the guy that he was in the Navy for I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he started releasing music while he was in the Navy.
And they gave him like a special discharge to get out of, like, I don't
know about that.
I'd heard, this is stuff that I'd heard like on radio stations and stuff like that. But yeah, he was in the Navy, and then like they're not messing around. They're not fucking around on this next one. They are 35 songs on one album.
Yeah,
like,
that's insane.
That's going for broke.
34, excuse me. And they are all really good songs. I had a really hard time picking which song I was going to go off that album.
But that song right there.
Was the other song on that on our list from that album, or was it from
no?
His
that
previous?
Was from his first album, I think. Deanne, because that was Shivers Down Spines, which that album
is
all acoustic.
Song. Yeah,
really,
because it was still, you know, he's still in the Navy.
Yeah,
like, I guess he didn't have access to the full band and all that. But no, it's, and I think he records a lot of his shit in very few takes, because there's a lot of songs on this that, like, you can hear him talking. They play the song, and then he's like, all right, shut it down. Put it on the fucking radio.
Well,
the guy's making up for lost time is what it is.
He's a great songwriter.
But we thank him for his service.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're very veteran-friendly on this show. Unless your name's Ruger. We're not real friendly to Ruger.
Well,
we appreciate his service.
But we're still friendly to him. I mean, we didn't kick him off our hunting group.
Yet. Neither here nor there. So, yeah, check it out. Zach Bryan. Solid choices this week, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very solid.
Good all the way around. All right, Bucky, you want to pick our next topic? You want to go into our topic, or do you want to go into the fuck up that you brought us?
Let's go into the topic first. So therefore, at the end of this, you know, they listen to my fuck up, and then I don't want them to quit listening.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and give you all a little teaser. The fuck up is on the Facebook group.
Yes, it is.
Has been for some time. It involves Bucky here. About to be pretty deep in water in a Traco.
But we're finally getting the story on this one, so.
So, stay tuned. Let's move into a little topic.
All right, we're going to talk about the White Deer Rodeo tonight.
Yes, we are.
Anybody want to, you want to start up by telling us when it is, Bucky?
It is July 29th and 30th, last weekend in July.
Every year.
Every year. And it starts with the mutton busting on Friday night. Well, actually, before that, let me correct myself. I got to get used to this. I'm doing this for like 3 or 4 more live air.
You keep fucking up, we'll find somebody to replace you.
No, I understand. That list is pretty short. It's probably going to be you.
Me and Russell tag team it. We're pretty busy, guys.
I know. So this is the 64th annual White Deer Rodeo, and it's held on July 29th and 30th. We're going to kick off things on Friday night at 6:30 with a free barbecue brought to you by Modelo, Michelob Ultra, and Budweiser Distributors of Amarillo, along with Clinton Sons.
Oh, I didn't realize we had a beer sponsor for the barbecue this year.
Yes, sir. Yes. They came
that
out.
Is awesome.
Way to show up to meetings. Pay attention.
Yep.
I'm a terrible member, but hey, I show up to take money at the gate.
For the record, there will not be beer at the barbecue.
No,
that's what I was going to ask.
It is paid for, but you have to bring your own beer in a can.
No,
do not
glass
bring
bottles.
Any glass bottles. So we're going to do that, and then we'll have mutton busting and calf riding at 7:30, and then we'll get the rodeo kicked off on Friday at 8 o'clock after the rodeo, right after the rodeo. Immediately after the rodeo will be Josh Ward, for our Friday night dance and concert. Saturday morning.
What does that cost Friday night to get in?
Friday night is $15. A pretty good deal.
That is a fucking bargain. We're going to feed you. We're going to give you a rodeo and a dance slash concert, whatever you want to call it.
And the barbecue's badass.
The barbecue's good. I mean, that's at least $15 barbecue.
At least.
Have you ate out lately? That might be a $20 barbecue plate.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You can't feed a family. Because
you're talking, sometimes they get pretty hefty with them portions at the barbecue.
But that's, and it's.
And you're also helping the White Deer Lions Club.
Yes.
As they help us out with the serving. We throw them a little cash their way.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And, I mean, it's world-class barbecue. It's from Clinton Sons. I mean, come on, people. And then, so that's $15. And so Saturday morning, we'll get up, and it'll be at 10 a.m. We'll have a big parade through White Deer. Lots of floats. Lots of people coming. And then after the parade, we will do kickback day at the park, White Deer City Park. Committee there working their asses off trying to get everything ready. Park looks good. I drove by there earlier. It's nice and green, cut. It looks good.
They're attending business at that park committee.
Yes,
that's good.
And also, the White Deer Volunteer Fire Department is having a cornhole tournament at
Kickback
Day. Like a big one. I think they're giving away
some good prizes.
I don't remember what they were giving away. But it's worth, if you're going to be in the area, look them up on Facebook under White Deer Volunteer Fire Department.
I think so.
We'll try to remember to share that on the Facebook page. Yeah.
I think it's like a sanctioned cornhole tournament. I don't know how that rolls. I mean, cornhole's cornhole to me.
I don't know, bud.
I saw some extra.
I know there's an app that you can register through if you want to pre-register. It's a whole big thing. I didn't even know that people got that serious about cornhole, but.
Apparently, there's like a state finals and a national finals and like world finals. I don't know. And anyway, fire department's working their asses off. That is a fundraiser for them, you know.
And they do a lot for our community.
Community in our county and even our neighboring counties and neighboring communities. So go out there, support them, throw a little cornhole. The kickback day, will be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Then you can go home, get a little rest, get a shower. Get a shave and come on back for Saturday night's performance again with the mutton busting and calf riding at 7:30, and then we will have the performance kick off at 8:00. Prices on that, it's up a little bit, but I'll tell you the deal. It's $25 a person to get in on Saturday night, but we're going to give you a badass rodeo, and then we're not only going to have right after the rodeo Mike Ryan. But we also have Josh Abbott, two headliners playing an hour. Mike Ryan's playing an hour. Josh Abbott's playing an hour and a half. I mean, where can you go? You can't go into Amarillo anywhere and get a rodeo, or let alone a concert, but a rodeo and a concert for $25. It's a pretty good deal.
And the beer is just as cheap as you can find anywhere because it's what you bring.
It is what you bring. No glass bottles.
No glass bottles. Tyler will tackle your ass.
No glass bottles. Also, I would like to specify, there is no barbecue on Saturday
night. No, there's no barbecue on Saturday night.
But there will be concession stands by the White Deer FFA. So, if you think about it, you come to this deal, you're helping out the Lions Club, who does a lot of good things for the community. You're helping the FFA, which, you know, that's the children, future of America. And also, during the dance, you forgot to mention, breakfast burritos, by the White Deer Lions
Probably
Club.
Some of the best breakfast burritos you will ever have.
And fucking dirt cheap. I think they're only like, what, $2, something like
two
that?
$2 or $3. They're not expensive
at all. They probably had to go up a little bit this year because the price of eggs is fucking doubled. But you know what? That's inflation.
I bet they still buy Sam's out of eggs.
It's still going to be a good deal. There's still going to be plenty to get. And also, since we've kind of covered rodeo, Bucky, why don't you tell them what the White Deer Riding Club does for the community?
We do a lot for the community. We give away scholarships to graduating seniors. And
do those seniors have to be going to school or a trade school or anything to get that scholarship?
No, they do not. I mean, we're not specific. We used to be, but we kind of opened it up. And them seniors can get a scholarship. And, heck, I think one of the kids we're sending to Australia this summer.
We're kicking in. Like, we're either going to buy him a pair of work boots or kick into plane ticket to go to work in Australia.
Oh, he's going to work in Australia.
Yeah, he's going to work. He's going to work for his family.
He's got a family in Australia that's running some kind of business. And
then the other one.
That's awesome.
We bought him. I talked to his dad, and he went straight to the workforce. He's up in somewhere north, but got a good job, and we kicked in, and we got him our scholarship, got him some work boots, and got him some FR clothing and some shirts, and I mean, he's ready to go. And
stuff that's expensive to buy when you're getting started.
It's very expensive.
Before you get that first paycheck.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, we do, and we help out with the community, you know, by providing scholarships for kids that are graduating high school. I don't remember what the other one did. The other one was going to school. I do know that.
I think we did four this year.
Three.
There were just three of them?
There's three this year.
One
two
of them went to school. She's going to be a doctor.
Yes, she is. And she's going to...
A NICU doctor.
Yeah, she wants to be a NICU doctor.
Yeah, that's which is...
Oh, that's fucking
pretty
rough.
Intense.
I've got friends that were nurses in the NICU unit. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I ain't cut out for that shit.
But yeah, it's going to be a great time. This is going to be a hell of a time. It always is. And
it's a really good get-together.
Big crowd.
Big crowd.
They've been getting bigger.
Big, laid-back crowd. You know, we've gotten a lot bigger last couple of years, and so we've added on to the bleachers for you locals that we're going to be concerned about that. Bleachers have been added on to.
We have added or in the process right now of adding a bigger concession stand on the south side. So,
which will be appreciated.
Yes, and you could, and so the FFA can get you some food out the door faster. And man, I was talking to Davey earlier. He said that he did the math on it, and it doubled the size of our concession stand. Of that particular building.
I'd already guessed that. Yeah. I hadn't done the math on it, but I had betted that it was at least double.
And I was just up there right before I came here, and man, the framing's up, and it's a big building.
There you go.
And it's not going to obstruct your view. So lines will be a little bit easier. And we did that and added some bleachers.
I'm thinking new press box.
New announcer stand. The announcer's going to be real happy with that. We're going to test.
We're going to have a top-notch professional announcer too.
Yes, Ken Stone Cipher.
Coming back again.
Yeah, out of Guyman, Oklahoma, Goodwill, Oklahoma. One of the two. They're 10 miles apart.
It doesn't really matter.
He's from Oklahoma.
Yes.
Good odds if you've been to a rodeo in the area, you probably heard him talk. He does a really good job.
He takes pride in his work.
It's amazing what a good announcer can do for a rodeo. Like, it is night and day difference. It does not matter how good the competition is. If you've got a good announcer, nothing flows right. Nobody's having fun. It just kind of bogs everything down.
Yeah. And the crowd just doesn't have near as good a time. Yeah. It's a good announcer is critical for a good rodeo.
And Ken does a really good job.
He does.
At getting the crowd involved. There's no dead air. You know, even when you have those little bit of emergencies or situations that you need to bring in EMS, stuff like that in, you know, there's no dead air.
And from what I've seen, he works really good with the funny men.
Yes, I mean,
they flow well together.
And that's what makes the rodeo. Because, you know, it's all about the crowd involvement. That's why they're there, to be involved, feel like
if
they're
everybody's
part of it.
Having fun, it's going to be a lot better rodeo.
Yes. It's going to be a whole lot better rodeo.
And everybody has fun at the White Deer Rodeo.
Yes, they do. And we don't have very many problems. So y'all that thinking, oh, well, there's going to be that many people, you know, we don't have that many problems. We didn't have any problems last year. But no, we did a really good job. And man, Josh Abbott, remember back when Josh Abbott used to play like Midnight Rodeo and you have to get there at 8 o'clock at night just to get into the damn place?
Oh, yeah.
Do you not go to Josh Abbott? Oh, okay.
I've seen Josh Abbott a time or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've checked all these guys' schedules, and they're not playing anywhere close to here all summer, all fall.
Oh, really?
So, like, I don't even know. Like, Josh Abbott didn't even seem to have anything close, like, the rest of the year here. So, this may be your one time if you're in the area to come watch Josh Abbott. And then Mike Ryan, he puts on a hell of a show.
See, I've never seen Mike Ryan. I've heard his music, but I've never seen him live.
I saw him the other day, a couple weeks ago. He opened for Parker McCollum over at the Civic Center.
Oh, yeah.
And he has some followers, like some hardcore followers.
Oh, really?
And he does a damn good job. I like it when he plays his original music. He's not so much on the covers, but who am I to critique?
Whenever you can do it better, you can critique him.
Yeah, it's true. But he did. He put on a badass show. He really did. And then I've never really, I know Josh Ward. I know Josh Ward's music, but I've never seen him live.
I don't think I've ever seen him live. Have you seen him?
I can't remember if I have. I don't think so.
It's been so fucking long since I actually went to like a concert that wasn't at the White Deer Rodeo.
I was going
to
say the same thing.
And I used to know these, like, be diehard on this stuff, but I'm like you. You know, I went to that concert at
We've all got fucking jobs now and
families.
You know, that's like a funny story. Families. We went to a birthday party for a buddy of ours, and the shit, that was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, we all went out and ate supper in Amarillo, and like, well, shit, I think there's a pretty good band playing up at Hoots. Let's go up there. And then we're kind of looking around. It's like, why the fuck isn't there anybody here? And look at your watch. It's like 9 o'clock. And it's like, oh, that's why nobody's here.
And we all left like an hour later.
There was a couple of us that stayed till 11:30.
Oh, sorry. All right, 2 hours later.
But, yeah, it's just it's harder whenever you get older. And that's a good thing about the White Deer Rodeo. It doesn't feel like you're staying out till midnight, 1 o'clock, because you're having fun. You're engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, you're watching a rodeo. People are talking to you. We have
you're making new auction items
in the middle of that deal.
Yes, we do. And that'll help with the scholarship money. And that's another thing. Big auction items to be seen. We're gonna tease it. We're gonna tease the auction items.
Well, last year we had some really good, like super quality porch benches. Isn't that what we had last year?
Yeah, Leroy Hyduk made them.
Yeah,
and
I mean
he does
top notch work.
And they did, and they went. You know, so like I said, the auction items are still to be teased.
We'll figure something out. We'll have something good for everybody.
And it'll be a good time.
Well, what else we got to talk about on the rodeo?
What is your favorite part of the White Deer Rodeo, Bucky?
When it gets here and when it's done. I love the preparation for it. I mean, probably right before the grand entry on Friday night, everything is prepared. All the banners are up. The arena looks great. The ground looks great. You hear horses kicking in the buck and chutes. You know, whatever music they got fixing. I mean, you could hear it start cranking up. And all you see is just, you look around and it's the whole grandstands is full. Everything you look around the fences is full. And I mean, that just that last minute of calm before the storm, and then all of a sudden it hits, and then it's a great time. And then I think that's my favorite part, because you get to sit there and enjoy the moment. You get to live for that one little moment, and then all hell breaks loose. And I mean all hell breaks loose in a good way, because
it's controlled chaos.
It is controlled chaos.
You never know what's going to pop up, what's going to happen, what you're going to have to run into, what bull broke what gate. I mean, it's controlled chaos, so it's a lot of fun from our perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems, but as soon as that first horse comes out for the grand entry, man, it seems like everything goes so quickly.
Yeah, that's the fastest 2 hours.
It's got to be. And then you, like last year, what was really cool, during the Aaron Watson concert, I didn't get to enjoy it as much as everybody else did, which is, that's my problem. That's part of being in the position that I'm in, have to deal with all the other bullshit that comes up with it, you know, whatever happens, a fight in the back or whatever. And I got to run up there, stand on the back of Sean's Ranger, that famous little Ranger that Hadley loves so much. And for about 30 seconds, I didn't take my phone out, nothing. I don't even care, even knew what song Aaron Watson was playing, but you got to see that sea of people. And everybody just focused and enjoying it. And you're like, look at all these people and look how much, like, it's a really cool feeling to say, hey, I had a part in that, you know, a part in everybody kind of got to escape for a minute. And I guess that sounds a little cliche, but I don't care. It's a cool feeling to say, hey, we had a small part in trying to.
Yeah, we did this.
We did this.
All right. So I feel like we've patted ourselves on the back enough for the White Deer Rodeo.
I think I could do it some more, but
you
it's okay.
Probably could. We know you. but so y'all make sure and check it out.
Yeah.
Tell them the dates again.
July 29th and 30th.
And where can you buy tickets at?
You can buy tickets.
ClintonSonsPickup.com. That's the website you want to go to. ClintonSonsPickup.com.
Not Clinton Sons.
And for all those that are doing the will call deal, South Gate.
The South Gate, where you can see our lovable hosts.
Yeah, go look for us at the South Gate.
Yes, go look for us at the South Gate.
Yeah, so anyway, ClintonSonsPickup.com, buy tickets. You can buy your Friday night and your Saturday night tickets, and it's all going to be good. You're going to have a great time.
And you better go ahead and get your tickets, because we could sell out.
And also, find you like a pregnant chick or somebody that doesn't drink, because we don't want no drinking and driving at this event.
No drinking and driving.
No drinking
and
driving.
Find a designated driver. And even though I don't drink, I'm not driving your drunk ass home.
The White Deer Riding Club promotes responsibility.
Yes. Bucky's got his own wife to drive home. He does not need your ass to join in.
No.
And I don't want to be playing bumper cars with you on the way to my house.
And if you do join in, you're not going to like where you end up.
They might. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they're into that.
I'll drop them off in some random ass houses and make them pay for full tanks of diesel, too.
What a fucking asshole.
Well, you never heard. You know, the old Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drunks will pay for you anything. And as much as I'm not an asshole, as much as fucking diesel is right now, and it's going down.
Barely.
I wouldn't.
Barely.
It bounces. You know,
that's allegedly the cost of a 4th of July picnic went down this year.
Oh, I'm not listening to that dumb son of a bitch.
I don't know how the fuck they think that's accurate.
I hadn't heard that one. But
Joe Biden tweeted on the 4th of July or right before it.
Yeah,
he was. The other, the economy's doing great, guys. Everybody's kicking ass. And, you know, the price of a 4th of July picnic is down 17 cents from last year.
Yeah. I don't know how I can make more fucking money than I ever have in my whole damn life and have less of it to spend. That federal withholding bullshit on my pay stuff sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Royce wouldn't know.
I don't have that, but I do pay my quarterly taxes.
Yeah, fuck that.
And that's a son of a bitch. Because it doesn't just disappear from a check. I have to write
that check. You have to
write
the check, yes.
I saw a deal the other day that said they call it gross pay because it's gross to know how much you could make if the government would keep their fucking hands out of your pocket.
I'd believe it.
I believe it. Because there's a big difference between gross and net at the end of the year. I promise you that.
You know, it's real disappointing to see a pay stub and realize, oh, I don't see that. And then, you know, you go first quarter, you sell a few things, and you make your quarterly payment, and you're like, all right. Second quarter, you don't bring in shit. Still got to make that fucking quarterly payment.
they still want their money. And if they mess up and you pay too much, you ain't seeing that shit again.
Yeah,
sort of.
But in a way, but either way, they're not paying you dividends on it. They're not paying you interest on it.
Yeah, it's
you just let them hold that money for you for 6 months, 8 months, for no gain.
It's a real hostage situation with taxes.
It really is.
I'm just glad we don't have to deal with state income taxes.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it'd be too much.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Then
having to file two sets of taxes, that
I don't like doing the one. And I got to pay somebody to fucking do it.
That's no joke.
And if fucking Hot Wheels or anybody down in Austin ever figures out or ever tries to implement that.
Didn't we pass a constitutional amendment not that long ago about we can't ever do a state income
tax? I think we did. Yes.
I don't remember exactly when that was, but that seems pretty.
I think it did pass, which doesn't actually mean that we can't ever do one. It just makes it a lot harder to do one.
Right. Right.
Which was the odd part about that one.
Well,
but
you know, look, nothing's forever.
Exactly.
Well, look what's going on.
Yeah. So, Bucky, let's roll into the fuck up.
Okay, let's talk about the fuck up. If y'all want to look at the...
You got to paint us Birmingham of the picture.
I know. Okay. So, if you go back and look at the Facebook page...
And we will repost the pictures. We'll put it out when we put the podcast out.
You will see that... There's a Traco in very deep, deep mud. Now, this is between, this is a couple years ago. No, it was last year. And we were replacing a water line for a company in Hutchinson County. And I probably need to introduce it, kind of what I do. I'm an equipment operator slash foreman slash do everything for a local company here in town, for a construction company. I've been there for 12 and a half years. I get paid very well, and I have very good bosses, and I'm not just kissing their ass. I really do enjoy my work.
Which, you say local company, but it is a major national company.
Yes, and with this company, I have gone to as far as north as Minnesota. They have jobs in North Dakota, South Dakota, all through the Midwest. Starting some stuff in Utah and Idaho here in the next couple months. And have gone from just a local mom-and-pop construction company to a national company with multiple offices. But you still get that mom-and-pop feeling, or at least I do.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to my fuck-up. This really wasn't my fuck-up. I just was blamed.
Who was in the seat?
I was in the seat in the picture. So we're doing there was a water line leaking. I think it was an 8-inch line. We'll say 8-inch. And we replaced it up from the canyon that it was in. Not say canyon, the draw it was in, all the way up about a mile to the highway. And tied it all in. Everything was going smoothly, and the guy that owned this pipeline said, oh, it's been leaking for 4 weeks. I later found out, when we brought it up on Google Maps and Google Earth, and that picture was taken in December, this was the greenest fucking spot in the entire Texas Panhandle. I mean, you look in the middle of Hutchinson County, from the satellite view, you could see this green spot.
Oh, he was just happy to have green grass, I'm sure, that year.
I'm sure the farmer was. He didn't own the land. I really am surprised cows didn't disappear into that mud hole. But it was a green-ass spot. I mean, in the middle of a dry year, and it's fucking green. So anyway, we're cleaning up, and I'm taking the backhoe. I'm on the other side of the line. And that spot where that track hoe got stuck and sunk was in one of our tie-in spots. So I had Shorty. He said, I'm going to rake this and kind of clean it up with the track hoe. You go clean up the rest of the pipeline. I was like, that's fine. So I'm up there dressing it up, making everything look good. And then all of a sudden, and I had a phone call, or another company rep from another company came and stopped and talked and wanted to try to do some customer relationships, and my phone is fucking blowing up. And I'm not trying to be rude and like stop a conversation between another company rep. I'm trying to do the best customer service I can do here. Phone's just going off nonstop. I'm like, what in the hell? I halfway figured I was going to top that hill, and Shorty was going to be on the ground with a heart attack. Nope, he's got that track up, which I did track across that same spot like 4 or 5 times the day before, was up to the substructure in mud. So he's freaking out.
And what's the substructure?
The turnstile, the actual, from the tracks. All the tracks are covered.
So it's on the top of the tracks?
Yes, it's on top of the tracks.
Okay.
So we decide to address the situation really quickly. I said, well, I know how to crawl. I mean, there's ways to crawl a Traco out of a situation like that, and I tried that, and it did not work, because within the 200 feet surrounding this Traco is just a sinkhole now. I mean, even grass that looks green, you could step on it, and then like you sunk, you know, 4 or 5 inches, a lot of water. So then we get the bosses involved, and we did not get Kirk involved yet. I called my immediate boss. I said, listen, we've got a situation. We're going to need a dozer, some pretty heavy-duty chains, and we got to get this track hole out. The boss comes out. We bring a dozer out, and we try that, and it was no budge. Well, when we were pulling with the dozer, we were moving forward, and the Traco was nosediving. And I'm in the Traco trying to use the bucket and the boom to pull against, you know, the tension of the dozer. I'm pretty much just using the dozer as a dead man. And as the dozer's trying to move, the guy was trying to track too. And we start nosediving, and I start hearing glass break, and mud starts, because the door's open at this point. Mud starts coming in to the cab, and all those fears of quicksand that you had as a child all came rushing back. Like, this is it. Like, I'm sinking. This is where I'm going. This is it. This is it.
I'm fucking Hutchinson County.
I'm
a part of the landscape.
It's kind of like that song, Don't Let Me Die in Waco.
I'll fix and die in Hutchinson County. I promise you that. I'm grabbing for the emergency latch. I'm getting my feet down there at the pedals are getting just sunk in. I'm trying to climb out the top of the roof, and it kind of went shitty from there. So on our way back, I receive a line of phone calls. Safety calls me. Kurt calls me 2 or 3 times. Finally, about the 6th phone call, I'm like, listen, I did not get this Traco stuck. I really wasn't getting my ass chewed, but I'm like, I don't really need to be the one blamed for this. Like, it's done. Yes, I understand we need to fix it, but Shorty got this shit stuck. It wasn't me. So we decided, the 2nd or 3rd phone call from Kirk after I explained what was going on and I got told to just fucking handle it like I usually do, which is fine. He called me, said, hell, we'll just do it in the morning. And then he called me back. He said, you think, was there a bottom, do you think, to that mud? I was like, I'm pretty sure this son of a bitch has been leaking pretty well for 2 years now. I was like, I really don't want to drive out here in the morning and that track will be gone, you know, because it became part of the earth. So we got another Traco involved, and this is about 8 o'clock at night. From then to 5 o'clock in the morning, we tugged and tugged and tugged on this Traco, and we ended up finally getting it out the next day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was a very long fuck up. Those are pictures of me just chilling. And, you know, at that point, when I got in there that evening, every time we would pull, we were making progress, but the mud on the side of the door was getting to where you couldn't get out. So it was stupid for me to get in and out and try to climb through that hole and everything like that. So I pretty much spent the night, and I said, this is like March. So the nights are pretty cool, especially when you're wet.
Yeah.
And covered in mud. And I pretty much just rode it out there, and we were trying everything we could. And we moved it about 40 feet that night and got it to a little bit firmer spot, not so much of a sinkhole, and went back to the yard, regrouped, and came back and got it the rest of the way. But it was as far as my professional fuck-ups, that's pretty high.
I would like to know what was worse than that, but, I mean, that's
no, you do a
conversation
not.
For another time, I
that's
guess.
That's a conversation off the record is what you really want to know. Because it involves certain people. but no, and nothing, the only thing that was damaged on that Traco was the door had one of the motor doors had a dent in it and the window. Everything else washed right off.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to wash that off? Or whoever washed it off?
It took him a little while, about a couple hours.
Because I know in one of the pictures, you are just sticking your arm out and touching ground.
Yes. There was many times.
I mean, you are sunk that far in there that you are just.
Yeah, I mean, there was many times that the mud on that door was higher than my head. Like, because we had plant lights and light plants and stuff like that out there. And, like, there was a little bit of daylight. It got a little sketchy sometimes. And that Traco was probably the operator's seat, your ass is probably from ground level 6 feet, 5-6 feet off the ground. No, it's more than that. Probably 6.5-7 feet where you sit, where the actual chair is. So all that was underneath the ground. So from my ass plus some more eye level of what, and I'm 5'11" sitting in that chair.
Just a wee lad.
Just a wee lad. I'm very short. That's a lot of mud.
It was
questionable a couple of times. I thought, this is kind of probably where it ends. Because at that point, I was out of escape routes. Like, even the top, like, I...
It well, in there, cage over the top?
No. Just a... Well, I mean, there's a roof, but there's, like... The roof has an escape latch up there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they did or not.
Yeah,
I,
they have an escape latch up there. But you would try to... You would actually try to be moving, and the mud would get around your feet so damn bad. Your tracks would get... Your foot would get stuck on the track pedals. So... You're trying to pull them off, and your tracks are under there, just digging farther, deeper, and deeper. And it got sketchy, but we made it out. A little bit of property damage, not much. And I went to New Mexico the next day.
Oh, I thought you were about to say I went to therapy the next day.
No, I do not have to do that.
No, they showed him where it could be worse. They sent him to New Mexico.
They didn't just send me. They didn't just send me to New Mexico.
You ain't sinking in the mud, New Mexico.
Yeah, no. It wasn't just New Mexico. It was New Mexico west of El Paso. Like, where?
Down there by Anthony?
Dimming? Out there by
Dimming?
Oh,
goddamn.
Playas,
New Mexico. They sent you to fucking nowhere.
Playas, New Mexico. 10 miles from where that job site I was at. 10 miles down the dirt road, the highway, the state highway, turned into a two-track road. And down 10 miles south of that two-track road was Mexico.
I've got buddies that ranch out there at Deming, and they'll even tell you they ain't goddamn thing in Deming.
Them cows never quit moving. There was cows on that land.
Yeah.
But they never quit moving.
That's where you get to sections.
Well, if you quit moving, you starve to death.
That's where you get to sections per cows instead
of
cows per section.
They were not looking healthy. And there was a Border Patrol balloon. That was kind of...
Funny story about, you know, you're talking... sections per cow. So I had a professor in college that was coaching a livestock judging team, which I was part of. I wasn't on that team, but you know, I savvy the industry. So he took this group of kids from a junior college up to this ranch in Kansas, and you know, it was a smaller JUCO, and so all of the kids were from, you know, like New Mexico, West Texas, the Panhandle, you know, like they were arid environment kids. And they get up to this place in Kansas, and you know, they're gonna run a set of heifers with performance data on it. And so the guy's giving them a little background on the ranch, saying, you know, we get 8 inches of rain a month and da 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 da. And this guy walked up to the professor and he said, hey, did I misunderstand him, or did he misspeak? And did he mean 8 inches a year? He said, nope, 8 inches a month. Notice how that grass is up to your knee? 8 inches a month.
They must have been up by around Salina or something.
Yeah, I think they were over in the Flint Hills or...
Oh, that's beautiful country. Because with my company...
They got so much grass, they burn it every year.
Yes, they do. No doubt. And I have been through there when they burn it.
Isn't that some crazy stuff?
It's crazy
shit. I love the Flint Hills because you're driving through fucking nothing. Just grass. And it's beautiful. And then there's a set of fucking pins right next to the interstate.
Yeah.
With an overpass that is for cattle. It's not for... Uh-huh. It's not... Yeah.
No,
it's a neat fucking place.
One of my favorite memories from TCU is we went up to the Flint Hills. And five white Suburbans. That's what we traveled around in. And so the tour guide or the owner of the ranch that we were on always got in the front, and he was on a radio. And so he's in the front Suburban, and I'm in the back Suburban, just listening over the radio. And we're driving through this pasture, and he's trying to light matches and toss them out the window to start a fire. And he can't do it because... He can't do three things at once. So he just hands them off to the kid or to the student behind him, you know, 20-something-year-old student, and says, here, just as fast as you can, just light one, toss it out the window. Light one, toss it out the window. We're going to burn this pasture down. By the time it got to that back Suburban, that was a fire going on. And, I mean, you could feel the heat through the window, which, I mean, we were – upwind of it, but you could still feel the heat through the window, and it just like nothing is going on. He just like, yeah, no, we're doing two things at once. Giving you a tour, we're lighting fires.
And that's some thick ass grass too.
Oh, I mean,
it's not like here where pastures, you know, flames are, that's some good fuel.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
some really good fuel.
And I mean, there's a good reason why they do it. They get good grass back, and their fire is good for especially certain places. But yeah, that, I mean, that was just pretty cool. And then the same guy, when we showed up, he had a tube of gasoline or a pipe of gasoline attached to his four-wheeler. He reached down, lit the gas off, and trailed a fire along, and it burned up and went across the fence on the neighbors. He said, "Ah, that neighbor was nice enough to burn 40 acres for me. It'll only get, you know, 30, 40 of his. You know, we'll just trade off." And like, he did him a favor.
Yeah.
You know, here, somebody's going to be mad about that. Yeah, but there, it's...
That may come to shooting around here.
Yeah.
That's situation around here.
That's if you hate your neighbor, not, hey, yeah, you did a good job for me.
Like, I'm about to starve this sumbitch to death.
But no, he meant it. Seriously, he was nice enough to burn 40, 50 acres for me last week. You know, the 50, 60 acres I burned for him this week, he... less he has to do tomorrow.
And it's a different world. Like, you get up with working for who I work for and traveling, you know, especially during like 2020. 2020 was nice because I have a CDL and I haul a bunch of equipment and I spent a lot of time in Kansas. And then we went on up to like Fremont, Nebraska and stuff like that. And I didn't realize, like, they're called the Corn Huskers for a fucking reason. They put corn everywhere in Nebraska. Like, I saw open lots in the middle of Omaha with fucking corn growing in them. Like, how do you even get something to cut it? And I came across Iowa, and it was like 100. I forgot which interstate I was on. Maybe been 80. Yeah,
it was, yeah, I-80.
And I calculate, or I measured it, and it was like 120 miles that I went. That both sides of the interstate, and there were some trees and, you know, county roads and stuff like that. Everything had corn.
Oh yeah,
and I mean corn, fucking everywhere up the hills.
And like, if it's not corn, it's soybings.
It is very
That's
impressive.
That's all they grow up there, corn and beans.
Yeah.
It is very impressive. And it's been really eye-opening as far as, like, seeing what kind of different farming and stuff. Of course, you're just seeing it out of the window for Peterbilt, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I drove to Rochester, Minnesota, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. And it's amazing. You get up there, like, probably Des Moines-ish, something like that. It is a whole new fucking world from what we're used to down here.
And so much clean, like, north of, I spend a lot, I have to go to Salina a bunch. And, like, you get north of Salina and you start getting up there, and, like, Fremont, Nebraska, Lincoln, it just seems like everybody takes a lot more pride. And, I mean, I saw trailer parks that 1960s and 70s trailers were completely repainted and yards mowed. I mean, everybody mows their yard up there. And it is always like, it just
seems
like.
Fucking have to, or it'll be goddamn 12 feet tall.
That's what I was going to say. You couldn't bale the shit.
No shit. And it's just, I don't know, it's something.
Hey, you chop it for silage, maybe.
I don't know that you could get a silage chopper through that.
And like going through like Minnesota, that was really interesting too. You know, how much.
I've been to Minnesota a couple times, and I like driving around in Minnesota.
Minnesota's a pretty state.
It is a pretty state.
I wouldn't ever fucking even think about moving there, but just going through and looking at stuff, it's actually pretty neat.
And the Great Lakes are really neat to see.
I need to do that.
But yeah, no, it's Minnesota, all those states up there are really cool.
They've got the Spam Museum.
Yeah.
In Austin.
I'm going to have to go up there sometime.
Yeah.
It's funny that the Spam Museum is in Austin, Minnesota, when the most spam consumed is probably in Hawaii.
They make it in Austin, Minnesota. Well, I figured, but still. Where Hormel is. But no, I tried to go. So the first time I was up there, obviously I didn't have time. The second time I went, I actually had time, and they were fucking closed to remodel, and I was so fucking mad. I think your dad's been through that.
He probably has, because he took mom up to Rochester.
Yeah, he went up there the same reason I did. But, yeah. I think he went, he said he went through it, because I said something about it, and he asked me if I went through it. I was like, they're closed. He said if I had to go back to do it, so.
Well, it's a whole different world up there. Like, we have a job, they're still on a job, yeah, right outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota in a semi with a lowboy hauling a track hoe. In the middle of the George Floyd riots. Like,
oh, I bet that was exciting.
Made a wrong turn. I was supposed to be going to Spring Green. Wisconsin. Made a wrong
packing.
We were. And I made the wrong turn, and all of a sudden there was smoke. Like, you could see downtown whatever you want to call it, skyline of downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota, and there was smoke coming out of. I was like, I'm in the wrong place. I don't know how I'm going to turn this son of a bitch around, but here we go.
A white boy in a truck with a piece of equipment. I don't want to die.
75,000-pound track on the back. You really can't just make a turn on some of that shit.
No.
Yeah, but you don't exactly have to stop.
Either. No.
And in my experience, Minnesota traffic is not great.
No.
Like, even I didn't even go to, like, Minneapolis, but, like, the kind of decent-sized towns like Austin and Rochester fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And the roads were fucking there, and it rained the whole goddamn time I was there. And it was.
And they don't give you a yield sign, bullshit, nothing. Like, they turn a blinker on and they're going.
Oh, yeah.
And right away, no, there ain't. Four-way stop is an argument. There were some
cars that I about caught with that old grill guard on my pickup. And I was like, this is on you. I about told my wife, I was like, you need to get your phone out. We need some video of this shit because.
Make you want to put in one of those dash cams.
No, huh? Shit. I understand why people have them.
I blew out I dropped a drive shaft out of a Peterbilt.
In a Floyd?
No,
protest?
No. I was in a better. I was pretty close. I mean, I was close to Minneapolis, but we had a job in Farmington, Minnesota, and I was moving a Traco, and this Traco weighed like 86,000 pounds, and I'm making a turn in an intersection, and it's 5 o'clock, and my drive shaft leaves. So now I've got this 60-foot long train with this 86,000-pound Traco, and we are stuck in the middle of a turning lane in a town. And then people didn't help for shit. I mean, nothing. Flip you off. I thought, it was kind of sketchy.
It's like, I broke down, bitches. What the fuck you want me to do?
I can't do nothing about it.
And they're like, how are you going to get it out? And I had a welder out there with me, and he had a gas-powered 601-ton Chevrolet pickup, and we hooked that truck and everything up to that Chevrolet pickup, and we pulled that sumbitch out of that intersection and on up into a parking lot. It was impressive. His truck never ran the
speed, man. I mean, you probably could have done it with like my EcoBoost, but I mean that 60, that's an impressive feat for that pickup.
Yeah, it is. I thought.
I mean, they've got video of what, a Toyota pulling the space shuttle.
Yeah.
That's
it's just too bad they didn't have an EcoBoost at the moment.
And I'm telling
they could have done it twice as fast.
No personality. Them fucking people are no personality. That tow truck driver showed up, that wrecker. He had like 7,000 miles on this tow truck. It was brand freaking new. And all we had to have him do was hook up and drive us or drag us like 2 miles down that road and then half a mile down the next road, and that road was 4-lane with a turn lane, and he hooked that sumbitch up, and I mean, he took everything he could to make that turn. It was impressive. I'm like, he's getting, and this is middle of the night now, he is pissing some people off, and he took everything he could to get that thing turned in there. It is, but no personality, just no laugh, no nothing. I'm like, are y'all
shit, it's midnight.
He's getting paid very well.
But still, you woke him up.
No, I mean, the people, like, they always talk about how nice the upper Midwesterners are. My experience, not so much.
And I don't know. The people I know from up there, which I've got two friends up there.
Okay, so if you know people up there, that's one thing. But, like, I'd go in, so I had some time to kill whenever I was in Rochester, Minnesota. I went and got my hair cut. And, you know, she hollers my name. I walk back there. She said, hey, how are you today? I was like, oh, I'm doing real good. How about yourself? You're not from around here, are you? I'm like, no, ma'am. How'd you guess that? She said, we don't get a lot of that accent. I was like,
what? You didn't say good and you?
What accent? She said, you're from, I'm guessing, somewhere in the South, maybe Oklahoma. And I was like, no, ma'am. Way off. Way off. This ain't Oklahoma. This is Texas. She said, oh, you're a Texan. It's like, are we going to have a problem? Like, do I need to just nix this whole haircut idea or what the fuck's going on?
Oh, then people just seem to shoot you.
Boy, she didn't say another fucking word to me the whole time I was getting my haircut.
I did.
Way to go, bud.
I did meet an interesting guy up there that he had. Of course, you know how I roll around in a cowboy hat and button downs and whatever, and that's, you know, that's how I dress.
Oh, I know how this is going. That's pre-Yellowstone.
It's pre-Yellowstone. We ain't going to go to that part. But I was sitting outside smoking a cigarette outside of a hotel, and he was as nice as he could be. He's like, and he
anybody I met at a bar, super friendly.
Oh, see, that's what you're catching them. You're either catching them while they're drinking or while they're hungover. Have you ever noticed how many bars there are up there?
There is a lot of bars.
Everywhere has a bar.
Every downtown, every little city square has a bar.
I went to a
bar and grill, mainly a bar, but they sold hamburgers. Stuff. It was like right across from our hotel. And they had a deal to where if you could eat this hamburger, they would give you like 2 free beers. I thought, okay. Well, I looked at the menu and it had like jalapenos on it. I thought, Tyler's about to get himself 2 free beers. And I get through almost all the way through the burger. Waitress walks up and says, pretty spicy, isn't it? No.
Yeah.
No, it's jalapenos, it's bell peppers. I'm a little confused.
That's like when we went to Canada for Canada's wedding. Yeah. And they were
bitching about the jalapeno poppers.
Yeah, the poppers.
Well, these are spicy, eh?
It's like eating a bell pepper. I mean, there was no heat to them.
That is some place I'd like to go see. Not right now. Canada wouldn't be bad.
Saskatchewan was cool. You know, we did a little driving around, and it's the prairie's real pretty.
It is.
Because it's a lot more open than, I mean, like shit, it's basically the same as driving around down here, but it's a lot more open where it is open. And, you know, like they might have a bean patch over here, but it'll be grassland over there. It's just, it's pretty country.
Even Ontario's not bad because me and my wife drove across Ontario. We went from Michigan to Niagara Falls, but we crossed Canada to do it. But it was quicker because you didn't have to drive south. You cross the lake and
there you were.
It's like 2 hours. And that was a pretty drive. And Niagara Falls is, that's something you just got to experience.
It's not a tourist trap. It's an actual.
Oh, it is a tourist trap, but it is a tourist trap that is worth it. I mean, it is because there's everything you could ever want to see or do there, you know, all that kind of stuff and casinos and whatnot. But the actual falls themselves, it's something worth going to see.
I'll have to put that on a bucket list or whatever you want to call it.
Because it is really cool. I would recommend it.
I would like to see it, but I'd also like to go to upstate New York because I hear that's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it from either
side.
Well,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't mind going to the Canadian side, but that
from what
upstate New York, Maine, that part of Canada, you know, all that up there, I would like to see sometime because I hear it's nice.
From what we understood, and we just stayed on the Canadian side because it was easier than having to cross over again. Mm-hmm. The prettier view of the falls is on the Canadian side.
Well, the closest I've gotten to Canada is we bought 2 Canadian trucks, and then I've been driving that.
We should go sometime.
I will go.
The Canadians are real friendly, eh?
Eh?
They're actually pretty friendly, eh?
Yeah.
If they're anything like Letterkenny, it would be all right. Or Shorzy. I'd be all right with that. Are they? Is it even comparable? Or is that like, is it really a parody? Like, I understand a parody. It could, you know, it could have been a parody, but
we didn't spend a lot of free time or a lot of time in like small town Canada.
We were welcomed with open arms, though.
I mean, everywhere we went, they were fucking friendly. I mean,
other than that one museum that was pretty harsh on Americans.
They were pretty harsh, but you know, everybody else, they would notice your accent and they're like, oh, hey, where are you from, eh?
Yeah.
And you know, they'd always strike up conversation and talk with you. So I mean, they were friendly people.
Kind of like Rawlins, Wyoming. That's how they would hear that accent, and they were just, that's a place with a lot of bars. 9,000 people, and there's like 19 bars in that town.
I will say.
And I saw every one of them.
Whenever I was in Saskatchewan, that is the only time I've ever been sought out to dance with at Canada's wedding because I had this girl walk up. I had several girls walk up to me. It's like, you're one of the Texans, right? And I was like, well, yeah. Oh, we need to dance. This is a country song. We need to go dance. I was like, okay.
Well, you're popular.
I had a girlfriend, but that's...
Was it me and you and maybe Bill Bryan? We were at Midnight Rodeo. And the girls from Ireland. Do you remember that?
I kind of remember that.
That was kind of... I don't know why that just struck me just now. But yeah, the girls from Ireland, they were like I guess they must have had a lot of money. Because they flown to like New York from Ireland and rented a car and was driving across Route 66 or going to Los Angeles and they were going through Amarillo. I vaguely remember that. But that was, there were like three of them.
There's somebody else there too. I don't remember. Probably Captain.
Yeah. That was back in those days that we were all,
yeah.
Back when Midnight Ropeho was Ropeho and not Save-A-Ho.
I think say not a church.
That's how that.
That seems out. Like a good place to segue into whiskey trivia.
Well, I think so.
That sounds like a good place.
Whiskey trivia. Are you familiar with the game?
Yes, I've listened to your podcast.
He says he's a listener. He should be.
If you get another Jim McCurry question, we're done.
Which TV series features lead character Don Draper, who is partial to a Canadian club whiskey?
Don Draper.
It's a fucking softball, bud.
I know it is, but it's...
I'm out on that one.
Really? You never watched that show?
I don't think so.
Oh, Mad Men.
Yes.
Oh, no, I never did watch that one.
And I've never seen an episode
but
of it.
But Don Draper, that... Thanks.
Yeah.
Now that I hear the show.
They ran the ad agency. That's actually a pretty good show.
I've been meaning to watch it. Just never happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've only been off the air for 15 years, so...
Has it been that long?
Probably solid 10.
At least.
I graduated from college 10 years ago, and I think it was done whenever I graduated.
Yeah, fair enough.
Doesn't seem like that long ago. This is a pretty cool one. Because it was, like, one of my favorite drinks. What kind of drink is created by combining coffee and whiskey and cream?
Irish whiskey. Irish coffee. Sorry.
Yeah,
correct. He's taking a mulligan on Irish whiskey.
Which, those are quite tasty.
Oh, I loved them.
Not as good as car bombs, but they're still good.
I mean, one's kind of a morning drink, one's kind of...
With that attitude, maybe.
Irish coffee.
Nobody
was
says
good
you
for
have
any
to
time.
Chug a car bomb, all right?
No, they don't. I'm a professional. Well,
what was that we made in Fort Worth that was just.
The Killarney bomb. It was red and black. So it was.
It was
Killian's on top of
Guinness
layered. And then it was a layered shot of. Bailey's and Jameson? Bushmills?
It's probably Bushmills.
Some kind of
it's
Irish
probably
whiskey.
Bushmills.
So you had a layered shot that you dropped into a layered bomb or a layered beer, and I drank so many of them, and then we drove from Fort Worth to Lubbock. I didn't drive. I wasn't
obviously.
A fan of the guy that was driving.
You wasn't a fan?
I was not. I just met the guy. It's kind of another story. But anyway, dude was a douchebag. And so I got fucked up, and then we went to Target, and like my sister got like 5 pounds of jelly beans, and I got some other. So we got drunk, then hyped up on sugar.
No, I think we went to Target, and then got drunk because I was trying to make it
drinking pretty heavy.
I was trying to make it as annoying as hell for the guy that was driving y'all because he was kind of a pain in the ass for us because he. Kind of bogarted.
He kidnapped one of our friends.
Yeah, exactly. So we're like, you know what? Screw him. Because y'all were staying at my house and Fred wouldn't get trashed. So
well, I mean,
I got you trashed.
We drank pretty heavy at lunch at Genghis Grill. Then we went to Target and then we went back to your house and this guy was supposed to be there. He was supposed to meet us at lunch. That didn't work out. So then we started drinking. Well, then we went and got candy. And then we sat there and fucking did Killarney bombs.
Then I sat there and got him thrashed.
I feel like I've heard this story before, but I don't know why. But yes, that sounds like, that sounds.
I mean, that kind of started a tradition to all of us other than the driver going to a baseball game for a few years after that.
Let's go round and
round. Worked out for me. Everybody left and I went to bed.
I did that with Kirby the last time that we went out. I got him and my mother and my wife extremely intoxicated at Hoots. I just went over there and slapped the card down like, I'm buying drinks all night. And I was making Mandy and Kirby double shots of whiskey, of Pendleton and Coke. And
thanks for the invite, asshole.
Appreciate it.
Well, I'll remember that next time. I just now got your number last night.
Couldn't have reached out before. I've got Facebook.
It's on you, not him. Anyway.
All right, Tyler. What huge historical event led to the popularity of Canadian whiskey in America? I feel like if I give you the date, it's going to give it away. Guess, and then I'll give you the date.
I'm guessing Prohibition?
Before that. 1861 to 1865. Once again, 1861.
Turn around, look over your left shoulder, and see what the bottle is behind you.
I know.
You can't remember what it's called?
You just had brain fart,
huh? Yes.
Hate it when that happens. You want to call it another name?
Yeah, just fucking go at it.
The American Civil War.
Yeah.
As many American distilleries were destroyed during fighting.
Yep.
Did not know that before. Pretty interesting.
I actually did know that.
Really?
Yep.
But yet you guessed Prohibition.
Well, Prohibition seemed like a likely...
It did, because we went to that Al Capone Museum.
Yes.
When we got to see the tunnels when we were up there.
And I'm also a big Boardwalk Empire fan.
Yeah. A lot of Canadian whiskey came in during the Prohibition era.
It would make sense, yeah. Probably not in Texas. Probably a lot of tequila came through, came across the border in Texas during that time, too.
I would bet you're right.
So here's a fun fact for you. There was a guy that was a Prohibition agent that said that he could find liquor in a town within 30 minutes.
Yes.
In like 30 seconds in New Orleans, wasn't it? Because like the cab driver offered him a drink.
He asked the cab driver. The cab driver handed a bottle back to him.
I don't feel like we really took that real seriously. Like they put a lot of effort into something that...
Everybody fought.
Yeah.
I don't know how they made that work.
I don't think they did.
I think that's why they dropped it.
Like, I don't know how they made that work and, like, passing that act.
I just listened to another podcast about that, about how they were, it was a lot with the women liberations.
Yeah.
And then a lot with, like, the preachers and the small churches and stuff. And then you get them up into the big cities and stuff like that. It was like we were corrupting, we were morally corrupted as a society. And there was a big scares about that. And you get enough people, I mean, we're watching it right now. You get enough people going a certain direction.
You get enough of them vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is the bad part. That's the problem. You get enough of them vocal because you got 10% on either side that's vocal that really wants it. And the other 80%, she's like, leave me alone.
Well, you look at it, I mean, you have a lot of that women liberation was like through the Salvation Army and stuff like that. Big, big, huge at that time organizations. And Salvation Army is still huge. And I'm not saying they were the main ones, but that's the one I can think of right now. You know, it's amazing what you can kind of bleed into the populace, and all of a sudden shit's a lot different. And like we amended, it wasn't just, you know, it's not like we just voted on it one day on a ballot. Like 2/3 of the states had to ratify that. Like they had to ratify it, then Congress had to ratify it. I mean, that was a hell of a process. I mean, it's not just but it is what it is.
But it happened.
Lived and learned.
It happened, and it unhappened.
Thank God. Otherwise, this podcast would be A little different.
Be much more like that movie Pirate Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd be moving locations.
So anyway, Bucky, we appreciate you being on here.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me.
Had a good time.
I hope you can have me back. I don't know.
I bet we will. Once again, everybody, come out, join or enjoy the White Deer Rodeo. Kickback day.
Kickback day. The parade. And Josh Ward on Friday night and Josh Abbott and Mike Ryan on Saturday night.
And also, make sure and check out our new sponsor, Texas Package Store in Groom, Texas.
Yes.
And also, make sure, load up the cooler of beer while you're there. Go check your fields.
Yeah.
We got some mites out in the corn. Got some weeds we need to clean up.
Getting pretty close to, if you hadn't made a picks trip, might be about time to make a picks trip.
Probably.
In some cotton.
Probably past time on that. So, y'all have fun. Have a great week. See you. Love you. Bye.
Stay safe. Thanks, guys.
Thank y'all.